Perek Hamishi also deals with davening. And Mishnah Aleph tells you how to daven, and what frame of mind. It says, Ein omdin lispalel, you shouldn't get up to daven, el matoch kovid rosh, except in a, like a, literally with a heavy head. It's the antonym of, the opposite of kalas rosh, you know, like goofing around, lightheartedness. The Gemara says, you know, lo matoch atvus, don't be sad, lo matoch atvus, and don't be lazy, lo matoch skok, and don't be goofing around. Just be in the simcha. Is our time up? No way. Rather, just be in the simcha shel mitzvah. Yeah. In the joy of the mitzvah. That's what you should go into the davening because you're excited to daven. Chassidim arishonim, the early chassidim. Not clear who they were. Like how far back we're going. Maybe the early Anshei Knesset Gedola. Then of that time period. So they famously hayushon shachas. They would take a whole hour. Miss Pollen, before they daven, they would take an hour to prepare themselves to get in the zone. Kadeshi Yechavnu as Libam Lamakum, in order to direct their hearts to the Makom, to the place that's translated in the old Maxwell House Agadas as the omnipresent. It means Hashem. Literally, Makom means place. Oh no, it means a full hour. An hour. And the Gemara is about to say, by the way, a full hour. Not only that, but it says they did it an hour, like, they did an hour prep before they went up to heaven, did a davening, and then they did an hour after it's coming back down. And they davened for an hour. So it's a 3-hour proposition. And they did it 3 times a day, which makes 9 hours. And the Gemara asks, well, if they're davening 9 hours a day, how are they going to get any learning done? So it says, that's Siat Tishmai, and they remember their learning. Really, but it's 9 hours they davened a day. That is all later. These are chassidim or shonim, but Pashas not. Some say in our on Shabbos morning it's almost an hour if you think about it, from like when you put in your tallis to when you get to an esrei. But that's not the pshat, I don't think. They didn't do that 3 times a day. I don't believe they said Ashrei for an hour in Mincha. It's early. I think it's before this. The Siddur was finalized like that. Or even if not, they took it. They meditated. They got into the zone. I personally think it's Dafka Lamakum, funny Lushan, to understand, like, you know, you have to get in the context of where you are relative to Hashem. Like really, that's as being a contingent Bria that Hashem is breathing into. That's like, and then you're reconnecting to Him. That's what Tefillah is, right? That takes seriousness. I don't know if the Chassidim Rishonim are really Anshei Knesset Gedola, which is post Nevuah, or it's even before that, and then Nevi'im. But you see, the Nevi'im had to take a lot of time to prepare themselves to get Nevuah. Like that's what they did all day. Really, the national sport of the in Bais Rishon, the national sport was prophecy. Gemara says there were twice as many as went out of Egypt were prophets. So that's like say 1.2 million prophets, which is like maybe Rove of the Jewish people. Right. I know that Tanakh has 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses, but those are just of a message, the Doros. But Jews in Bais Rishon time they all were prophesying. Like, I don't know, they didn't have a Rashba, they didn't have much text, but they ever did. They had Tanakh. They didn't have the whole Tanakh. So but they do all day. They commune with Hashem. Anyways, whatever it is, it's an hour mamish, that's for sure. Okay? Now, speaking of Kavana, it says, Afilu melech shol b'shlomo. If you're davening and you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei, even if a king, you know, says, "How are you doing?" and this is a Jewish king, not one that's going to kill you, but anything less than the threat of death, lo yashiveno, don't answer him. So we say it's a Jewish king because a non-Jewish king is likely to kill you if you just disrespect him, right? But afilu nachash karach al akevo, even if a snake is wrapped on your ankle, lo yafsek, you can't stop. Again, the halacha is kind of strange because it says dafka a non-death, you know, non-lethal snake, because then you'd have an issue. You'd be putter because of sakana stafashas. Like, how are you going to make that deal and everything? Like, the practicalities of it? I don't know. But the point is, I can't think of anything more. The point is this: I can't think of anything, and I don't think the Mishnah can think of anything much more distracting than having a snake curling up your leg. And even so, you have to maintain focus. That's the point, right? Which is probably hard to do. Okay. By the way, there are many halachas that you can't go into davening in a way that you're likely to break concentration. Or more than that, You have to be davening in a way that you're able to, let's say, lose yourself in prayer. So, for example, lalacha, you can't be holding something valuable when you daven. It's usher to be holding something that's delicate, that could break, because you're supposed to be, like, liable to drop it in your absence of mind being done here. You're supposed to be elsewhere. So, you're supposed to be undistractable, if possible. Okay? Fine. What's our time here?
I need to put my watch on the first one.
Oh, great. Okay. Mishnah Beis. These are inserts. This Mishnah is dealing with special changes to the normal davening. The first is Mazkir and Gevuras Keshamim B'Tchiyas HaMeisim. There's the insert that you say about rain. Right? We mentioned rain in two different ways, that variable ways in the davening. Right? One is we say that is Hashem is Mashiv Aruach, or Morid Geshem, or Gashem. Hashem is the one who does the bringing of the rain and the wind. And then we said, Vesen Talu Matar. We ask, send us Tal is dew and Matar is rain. So the Gevuras Geshamim, to mention Mazkir, it's like, you know, to recall the power of the rains, if you will, and say how Hashem brings the rain. The Gemara compares giving rain to like Tchias HaMeisim, because it brings the world back to life again. So you mention that in the Bracha of Tchias HaMeisim. It's the second Bracha, which mentions Tchias HaMeisim a number of times. You look carefully, you see, Keneged Yitzchak and his what he was. Now, and as for Visholin HaGeshamim, as far as requesting rain, so that's Bevirchas HaShanim. That goes in the bracha called the Bracha of the Years. That's the bracha of yeah, that's the bracha of Parnassa. The Havdalah Bechonin Hadas. And the Havdalah, that's the what we say on Moti Shabbos, the insert, that's the Havdalah insert, is said in Chonin Hadas like we do, right? In the fourth bracha. It was the first bracha that you, after the three that never change, then you say, yeah, you say that. Now, there's a machlokas Rabbi Kiva Omer, Omra bracha revias v'atzma. He says, no, the bracha you say for Havdalah is a separate bracha all to itself. So before you start the bracha of Chonin Hadas, you'll say the separate Havdalah bracha as a bracha b'fnei atzma. And the b'nuchsuk's brought down, the separate baruch. Okay? And Rabbi Eliezer Omer, behoda. So three machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer says that the appropriate place to say Havdalah is in Hoda, giving thanks to Hashem, like in the modem. So, again, the three shitas are either you say it like we do, that's Tanakam, that's Halacha, in the midst of the first of the 13 middle brachas, that's of Chonin Hadas, both because it's first and also because the Gemara says if you haven't, without Bina, that understanding, so Havdalah Mina and how you possibly be able to make Havdalah, they're connected, right? And Rukiva says it's his own bracha to itself. Okay?